Up to now, you have been seeing least squares problems with Professor Bevilacqua, and I will continue this topic. And my two lectures on this this topic have two goals. First, I will revise a little bit the least square problem you already seen from an optimization point of view. So in an hour almost, I will give you some additional information on the problem you already seen. And then I will introduce you a more general least square problem. Okay? So, the problem you've been visiting is the following. You have a matrix A, M times N, with M generally greater than N. You have a vector B in Rn. You would like to solve the corresponding linear system. Okay? But you have more equations than variables, so it's likely that the system does not have any solution. Okay. So, one technique is to approximate the solvability, let's say, of this system, is to minimize the norm of the difference between AX and B. Fine. The x, which is approximately the best thing you can do aiming at solving this impossible linear system. So you would like to minimize this quantity over Rn. Okay? So we are facing an optimization problem. Professor Bevilacqua showed you techniques to solve this problem, and actually, he was solving, without telling you, an optimization problem. And an unconstrained optimization problem. No constraints are here. Bad news, we know that the norm composed of the linear mapping is a convex function, so we know that this falls into the good class of optimization problem. Bad news, the norm is not a differentiable function. Okay? And we just face a problem with differentiable functions. Okay? Just to remember you, if you take the norm in n equal 1 is the absolute value. Okay? And the absolute value in x equals 0 has no derivative. Okay? Lo spigolo. Okay? There's some non-smoothness in the graph. Well, there's an easy technique to improve things. Solving this problem is the same thing as solving the problem where you take the square of the norm. Okay? Because norm is always greater or equal than zero, and if you take the square, taking the square is a monotone function. So if the basis is greater if and only if the squares are greater. Okay? Let's say P1 is greater than P2 if and only P1 squared is greater than P2 squared, and this is possible because P1 and P2 are positive. Okay? So you can take the square, and the square of the norm is a differentiable function. And just to simplify formulas, you also multiply the square of the norm by 1/2, okay, to make things a bit simpler. Okay? So, this is the so-called linear least square problem, formulated in terms of a unconstrained optimization problem, and I want to understand how the objective function is done. So, if I ask you, which type of function is this? We are taking the square of the norm of linear terms. So actually, f of x is 1 half the scalar product of ax minus b with itself. Okay? By definition of the Euclidean, of the square of the Euclidean norm. So if I ask you, which type of function do you think this is? You have linear terms which multiply linear terms. Okay? You're getting second degree terms. So we are getting a quadratic function. Okay? Now I give you the full computation. So we have, first of all, 1/2 multiplies everything. We have this transpose times this, which is x transpose a transpose ax. Then we have x transpose a transpose b. Then we have b transpose ax. And then we have plus b transpose b. This term can be written as a transpose okay? You just, this is a number, you take the transposition. And also here, this is not this way, so you can also write it this way. There's something I don't like here. X transpose A transpose B.
And the point is to modify it
to Okay. This is also this because you're making the product scalar of this vector with this other vector, so you can just change the order. Okay? This is a row and this is a column. You make this a column and this you make this a row and this a column. So here you have exactly the same thing. Okay? So if we rewrite the function is f of x is 1/2 x transpose a transpose a x minus 2 times, so it goes away with 1/2 a transpose b transpose x plus 1/2 b transpose b. Okay, so this is a quadratic function. Now you recognize it is a quadratic function. Quadratic functions were functions of this type, where here you have a square matrix And indeed, A transpose A is a square matrix, because A transpose is an N times N matrix. A is an N times N matrix, so A transpose A is an N times N matrix. Okay? So this is what we call Q. Okay? And this is the coefficients of the linear term, which unfortunately we call B also in that framework. But, okay, and this is simply a constant term, so it is not very simple. But the point is, linear least square are nothing else than the problem of minimizing a quadratic function on the whole space. Okay. And we face quadratic functions. We know that the gradient of the quadratic function is qx minus this term. So the gradient of this function in general is the matrix Q times x minus the linear curve, the coefficients of the linear curve. And we also know that the Hessian matrix of a quadratic function is given by the matrix Q of coefficients of second order terms, which in this case is A transpose A. Okay, first claim, this matrix is positive semi-definite. If you remember our lectures on convexity, if the Hessian of the function is positive semi-definite everywhere, the function is convex. Okay? So, as a consequence, it leads that S is convex. So, this is a convex quadratic function. Okay, I told you it is positive semi-definite, but I didn't show you, but it is a simple computation. A function is positive semi-definite if this is greater or equal than zero. Okay, this matrix is by definition. Okay, but what is this? This is nothing else than the scalar product of AX with itself. So it is the square of the norm of AX, okay? Which is always greater than zero. So this is the proof that this matrix is positive semi-definite, and so that this quadratic function is convex. Okay. What is the main result we have for convex function? Local minima and global minima are the same, okay, and they are all the stationary points of the function. So to solve this optimization problem is just equivalent to computing the points at which the gradient is zero. And we have developed algorithms for this kind of situation. And let's check what does it happen here in our case. What does it mean that the gradient is zero? The gradient is zero can be rewritten as this equation. A transpose A x is equal to A transpose B. Do you know this?
Oh. La conoscete?
You had 2 weeks of lecture, and this was the starting, one of the starting points of Professor Perilacqua.
Yes?
Dillo, dillo.
I think so.
No, this would be, if this matrix is squared, and this is true, if this happens, but the matrix is, A is not so squared.
No, this is the system of normal equations.
Okay. Professor Perilacqua considered the case in which the matrix may have complex entries. So we add H here, conjugate and transpose. Okay. But if the matrix is real valued, if the matrix is real valued, the two things are the same because when you conjugate a real number, there's nothing to conjugate, okay? Because conjugation is done on the imaginary part. Why did I make this switch and I didn't take the matrix with complex values? Okay? In principle, if you take the matrix with complex values, you should take also the variable to be possibly complex. Okay? And, well, optimization over set of vectors with complex components is a mess. Okay? It's a terrible topic. Okay? It is not even addressed to students of mathematics generally. Okay? Because it's a very advanced topic. Okay? I don't know much about it. Okay? So I chose real entities and real variables for this reason. So I proved to you through optimization something that Professor Perilacqua proved you making a lot of effort. Okay? He proved you that X is a least square approximation of that linear system, even only it satisfies the systems of normalizations. Okay? Well, this, the normal equation, are nothing but the optimality conditions of a convex quadratic optimization problem of a complex quadratic unconstrained optimization problem, which is the best thing that we can hope for. Okay, unconstrained optimization with a quadratic function which is also convex. Okay, so learn this, normal equation are nothing but optimality conditions for the problem. There are just another couple of things I want to tell you, and are the following. We have this, and Professor Perilacqua generally work with the assumption that the matrix A has maximum rank. Okay? So that that the columns of A are linearly independent. Well, if a matrix has maximum rank, you have this property that the unique vector in the kernel of A, so the unique vector such AX is equal to 0, is the 0 vector. Okay? So, go back here once again. So, if A has maximum rank, this is 0 if and only if X is 0. Okay? In all other cases, this is positive. Okay? Which means that X different from 0, this quantity is positive, means that this matrix is positive definite. Okay? So, as a consequence, we have that is positive definite. Okay? We know that a quadratic function here, where the matrix Q is positive definite, is strictly convex, not only convex. So this is telling us that F is strictly convex. And what do we know about strict convexity? We know that a strictly convex function has at most one minimum point. Okay? So, as a consequence of this, you have that the solution of the least square problem is unique. Well, you could tell me, well, it is unique if it exists. Okay? So, another question could be, but does a solution to this problem exist? Okay? We proved a long time ago, at the beginning of the previous semester, that if you have a function g, a quadratic function, let me write it this way, let me use another term, done this way, okay, and q is positive definite, then indeed the problem has a unique solution. It has a solution. Because it solves it, it is, the gradient has to be zero. Okay? But, Q is positive definite, so it is invertible. So this is actually the solution. Okay? And in our framework, I can write it here. From this thing, we have that the system of normal equation is solvable in this way. This matrix is invertible, so the solution in principle is this one. This is the unique solution. Okay. So, well, all the issue with the method for least square is to avoid the computation of this inverse. Okay? All the methods Professor Bevilacqua showed you aimed at avoiding the computation of this inverse. In applications, And there are huge many applications on least square. We will see some on Thursday. M is huge. Okay? M and N generally are huge. So here you are dealing with huge matrices. Okay, what if the matrix has not maximum rank? Maximum rank, if it does not. So this might be just, it is generally positive, it is positive semi-definite, but not positive definite. The thing is the following. We proved, now I need it again, I'm sorry. We proved the following, that a quadratic function, which is convex but not necessarily convex, is bounded by the law, okay, if and only if this property is true. If this is not true, then this function is unbounded by the law, even if it is convex. Okay? Even if it is a quadratic convex function. For n equal 1, you cannot appreciate this, because the unique convex functions are parabolas. Okay? And convex parabolas are all done this way, so that are bounded, so they are bounded below. But in more than two dimensions, this is not the case, and we have examples on our lecture notes. So the question here is, suppose that A has not maximum rank, so this matrix is just positive semi-definite, and not positive definite. Could the problem be unbounded? There are two ways to answer. The first is, no, this function is greater or equal than zero everywhere. Okay? So it cannot be unbounded by below. It has to have a minimum point. And if you want to check this directly, you should check if A transpose A at equals zero implies C here is that vector. If A transpose B at equals zero. Okay? Well, this is an easier to start, because suppose this is true, okay? Just consider this. This quantity is zero, so this is zero, okay? But this is the norm, the square of the norm of this vector, so this vector is zero. X is zero. And what is this quantity? This quantity is B transpose AX. So this is zero, this is zero. Okay? So this is the proof that this implication, yes, is true. Okay? Even if the rank of the matrix is not maximum. So, Professor Bevilacqua taught you to solve this type of problems where you have maximum rank as an assumption. Okay? Through generic optimization technique, you can find the least square solution even if the rank is not maximum. Okay? Just apply the technique, the algorithms we studied in the first semester. doubts, curiosities. My actual goal is a bit different. I not only wanted to review a problem you already discussed, I want you to consider a more general problem. Okay? A more general least square problem. Let's take this function again. Okay? Okay, the objective function of the least square problem. So, consider the matrix, the rows of the matrix A, A1, A2, An. Okay. By definition, the scalar product is the sum from E equals 1 to n of the square of the components of this vector. Okay? What are the components of this vector? The components of this vector are AIX minus BI, where BI is the component, the I component of E. And you take the square. Okay? So, I've done nothing different from this, okay? Which is the definition of the Euclidean scalar product, except that our vector is AX minus B, so is this matrix A. Times x minus b1, b2, bn. Oh, sorry, the sum is up to n. Components are n. Okay? I've written these components, okay? Ai times x minus bi. Okay? So, this objective function has a very interesting structure. It is the sum of squares of other functions. Okay? Let's call Ri x. AIF minus BI, my F is 1 half the sum over I of Li squared X. Well, I could consider the case in which the function Ri, do not necessarily have this form. Okay? The so-called non-linear least square problem is exactly the problem which aims at minimizing a function f done this way. So the nonlinear is squared problem is just minimize an objective function f which is the sum of the squares of other functions. Okay, where Li are general functions from Rn to R. The problem you've seen up now was called the linear least square, not because it is a linear optimization problem, but because these Li were linear functions. Okay, linear plus a constant, affine functions, okay? So, in the linear least square, you are minimizing a sum of squares of linear terms. Okay? In the nonlinear least square, you minimize the sum of terms which are not necessarily linear. Okay? Hopefully, on Thursday, I will convince you that this is as much as interesting as the linear case, okay? You've seen the linear case mainly for trying to solve approximately a linear system of equation which does not have a solution, okay? I will show you applications for this case, for this type of problem where these functions are not linear. The first example I will show you is to try to approximate and estimate the growth of a web service, okay, through time. So this is the definition of the problem, which takes the linear case as a particular one. I could stop here. I could say, okay, this is an unconstrained optimization problem. We've seen many or few algorithms to solve unconstrained optimization problems. Well, apply one of them and solve the problem. Okay. It's reasonable. We spend a full semester on the topic. Well, the point is, here, the objective function has a very special structure. Okay. Our function f of x is not any function, any nonlinear function, or even any convex function. As this special structure, it is the sum of the square of other functions. Okay. Well, my goal would be to find an x, look it this way, an x such that Rjx is x star, let's say, is zero for all j. That would be certainly the minimum point. I would like all of them to be zero. The fact is that I will not manage to have all of them zero at the same time for the same solution. Okay. Maybe I make the first one equal to zero, and then the third one will not be equal to zero at the point at which the first one is equal to zero. Okay. So I want to find, I would like to solve this system of equation, of nonlinear equations, which has no solution, and I will try to find the best approximation in that sense, in the sense of least squares. Okay? This is also a reason why the functions RJs are called also residuals. Okay? It's how you measure how it likes to be zero. Okay? You would like it to be zero, but it is not. Maybe some of you got it that main application is data fitting. Okay? I would like to find a model which fits perfectly all the data. But there is no such function, no such function inside a good family of function, and then I try to approximate the discrepancies, the differences, okay, between the actual values and the values in the model. Well, okay, let's suppose that our RJs are differentiable, are twice differentiable. Okay, let's suppose they are as smooth, as regular as we would like them to be. We can compute the gradient of f, which is, well, 1/2 the sum, and then I have to make the gradient of Lj squared, okay? When I take the derivative of a square function, I take 2 times the function times the derivative of the function, okay? I do it for all directional derivatives, and so this is 2 times Rj, the gradient of Rj. Okay, and the 2 cancels with the 1/2. I also wish to write this in a different form.
Let's introduce this function capital R with nothing else than this vector function whose components are the values of R1, R2, and up to Rn computed ahead. Okay? So this is the function that to each vector in Rn associated a vector in Rn. And then we can take the Jacobian of this vector function, okay, which has all the partial derivatives of all its components. If you write the Jacobian matrix here, the Jacobian matrix is the matrix whose rows are the gradients of the components. Here you have the gradient of R1 with respect to X1, the gradient of R1 with respect to X2, and so on. Okay? The gradient of R2 with respect to X1, with respect to X2, and so on. Okay? This is the Jacobian matrix
of I, of capital I.
Why did I introduce this? Because here I can make a wonderful notation. This sum is nothing else than the Jacobian matrix of capital R at F applied to capital R at F. Okay? No, sorry, not the Jacobian, the transpose. Why? The transpose of the Jacobian, let me write it here. Is the matrix whose columns are the gradients of the residual function Lj. Okay. And here you have capital R. So if you multiply this matrix times this vector, this is nothing that this vector times this coefficient plus this vector times this coefficient and so on, exactly this one, this thing. Okay? Well, since we have second order derivatives, we can also compute the Hessian matrix. Okay. Computing the Hessian matrix is a very boring computation. You find all the details on the lecture notes. Essentially, you should take the derivatives of all these terms, okay? And roughly, I take the derivative of this times this, plus this times the derivative of this. And when you take the derivative of this, here you will find the Hessian matrix of these functions. Okay? So this is the rough idea. And the result is the following. It comes nice because it comes the transpose of the Jacobian matrix times itself plus the sum of Rj times the Hessian matrix of Rj, all computed at x. Okay. So to compute that, you should compute the derivative of f with respect to xk with respect to xf. Okay. And at the same time, this is the derivative with respect to xk of the derivative of f with respect to xf. Okay. We already computed this. So this is the f component of this, which is the sum of this derivative. Okay, and then
Yeah, you have a sum, you take the derivative inside, and you do the derivatives of the product. Okay? It's a four boring lines of computation. Okay? Here I wrote, I want to take the generic element of the Hessian matrix. Okay? I write it as a derivative with respect to xk of the derivative with respect to xf. The derivative with respect to xf is the corresponding component of this vector. Okay? Which is this one. And then I have to take all the derivatives, which are the sum of products. So it's a bit boring. But what comes out is this. Okay? You can check the three lines of boring computation of the lecture notes. I don't want you to get bored with that. The information is now we have the gradient and the Hessian matrix. Okay? We have everything we need to do all the algorithms we already know. Okay? So we take a 5 minute break and then I'll show you how to use this formula. Notice these are peculiar formulas which come from the peculiar structure of our function f.